I remember very well, very, very well, that there was a big entrance in Itley, Texas. In 1997, the Itley Gladiators basketball team went all the way to Austin, Texas for the state championship. Anybody remember that? Okay, yeah, you guys remember that. That was big. It was so much like the movie Hoosiers. Anybody ever seen that movie, Hoosiers? Hoosiers is about a movie of this small Indiana basketball team, very small, about the same size as Itley, to be honest with you guys. And so this small team goes all the way to the state championship. But the difference is they were facing big teams. Now, the teams they were facing, that Itley was facing, were bigger, they were better. Well, maybe not better talent-wise, but they had the advantage. This team was undersized. They didn't have any respect from other teams. They were the underdog in almost all the playoffs, and they made it to the big game. So we're all talking about it. It's a big deal. The whole town shut down, or you're either at home listening to it on the radio, or you're over there, you know, in Austin following the team. It was a big deal. And sure enough, at the end of the game, the Itley Gladiators end up winning the state championship. Oh, boy, I remember very well. I was a kid, but I remember I thought, we're famous. Everybody knows where Itley is now. We're state champs. We're the champions. So, like any small town would do, we all celebrated. We all said, you know what? We need to welcome them home. So we all gathered around Main Street, right where OK Lumber is, right over here. I remember it very well. It was late at night. We're waiting for the big entry to come for our champions to get here. We waited, and we waited, and we waited. I thought, they ain't coming. But they did. And sure enough, this raggedy yellow school bus came driving down the road, and we're all waving, yeah, the champions are here! Woo! It's a big deal. Honked our horns, did all kinds of stuff. That was a big entry. It was one that you never forget. Another thing happened in Itley. 1 year prior to this, a lot of you don't know this, but in 1996, the Olympics were held in Los Angeles. It was in America. It's a big deal. Now, I'm not sure how we found out, but the town found out the Olympic torch, the flame, was going to pass through Itley. I'm not making this up. Sure enough, the word got out. It was confirmed. So we didn't have anything else to do, so we all went over to Main Street by the highway where 77 and 34 is, and we wait for the Olympic flame to come by. Now, I'm still a child, so I'm thinking to myself, you know, like you see in the movies, you know, there's somebody running with it, right? That wasn't the case. But we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And I thought to myself, they ain't coming. And sure enough, we're all waiting on the highway. It's hot, sweating. Oh, I was ready to go. And here comes this motorcycle down the highway. Two guys with helmets on, this gray looking, kind of like a James Bond motorcycle, real fancy. You don't see that kind of stuff around here. And they're driving down, and they're here, the guy's here. So we all get ready, and I'm not making this up, y'all. I'm being serious, I'm on the pulpit, you know, I can't lie about this. So my dad's got this yellow camera. You remember those disposable cameras? You guys know what I'm talking about. So he's got the stance, and he's ready to go. He's ready to take the picture of the Olympic flame. And so it's driving by, and the guy slows down. There's probably 10 of us. That was probably more, but it felt like 10. And he's ready to take the picture of the Olympic flame. And sure enough, they slow down. And the guy with the jar or whatever it is with the flame in it, he turned to my dad and posed for a picture. Now, let me stop right there real quick. With disposable cameras, you got one shot. With technology today, you can take 20 in a second. With yellow disposable cameras, you got one. You better get it. So he was ready. And sure enough, that guy turned and he held it up. And my dad, I heard click. And he went to take another picture and the guy was gone. He was already gone. He was already in Hillsboro, right? But that was a big deal. I think we got a picture of that somewhere. Okay, they can confirm it. So a lot of you don't know, the Olympic flame has traveled through Italy. But it was a big entry. It was a big deal. It's something that you never forget. Although those are kind of different stories, you've probably had big entries in your life that you can remember. Maybe a graduation, maybe a retirement, a ceremony, maybe a wedding, the entry of a bride. Big deal. Something you never forget. It's always in your mind. Palm Sunday was like that for the Jews. The Jews were waiting and waiting for a king to make the entry. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And finally, the king came. And that is what we call Palm Sunday. Finally, the king is here. So let me set the scene up for you guys. If those of you, if somebody's already asking me, what is Palm Sunday? Let me set it up for you. This is the final week of Jesus' life before he gave it for us. Prior to this arrival, Jesus was about to enter into Jerusalem. It's a big deal. They're waiting for him. They're waiting for the king. Jesus sends two disciples and he says, I want you to go over to a donkey or a colt. I want you to go over to him, untie him. The owner's going to say, what are you doing? And then you tell them that the Lord needs it. And he's going to let you, and then you're going to go, and you're going to bring it to me, and we're going to go into Jerusalem. So the disciples did what Jesus said. They went over, and sure enough, there was a colt here, and they untied it. The owner said, what are you doing? And he said, this is for the Lord. And the guy said, all right. So they took it to Jesus, and they put their cloaks on top of it, and Jesus got on top of it, and they ascended to Jerusalem. And as they ascended, people saw it. And the Bible says a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. In the book of John, it says others cut branches off, palms. Not their palms, palm trees. And they laid them out. Why is this significant? Because they were giving Jesus the royal treatment because their king had arrived. The crowd shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. See your king. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, daughter Jerusalem. Hosanna to the highest. Zechariah says, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt. This prophecy from Zechariah was 500 years prior to this arrival. Generations upon generations were waiting for this big entry. Childhood after childhood, we're waiting. One day our king is going to come. And when he does, we're going to spread out our cloak and we're going to welcome him into the holy city. And it's going to be a great, great celebration. And it was. There's two things that we need to take from Passion Week. Number one is this. Jesus knew what he was doing. And he was doing it for us. Bible says as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept. He cried. Why? Because Jesus knew what he was doing and the Jews missed it. Jesus said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but your eyes are hidden. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This entry is also a lot like an inmate, a prisoner. You may have seen it in television or movies. They've been sentenced. They're going to serve their time. They walk down the aisle and the men, they come up to the bars and they say, who is this new guy? And as they walk down that aisle, they see he's about to serve his punishment. But the difference of that story is this. That inmate, Jesus, was not guilty. He had no sin. Perfect. And what's even more greater is that all the people that were in the bars that were welcoming him or unwelcoming this inmate, he loved them so much that he took on their punishment as well. And those bars were opened up and they were able to walk out freely. Big difference. Number two, he dealt with our sin, which we could not do. Yes. And he did it for us. He dealt with our sin, which we could not do. Verse 19, all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he was committed to us the message of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? It's very simple. Reconciliation means that you're restored back to what you originally should have been. We go all the way back to Genesis. You read it. You see, Adam and Eve fell. We all know about the fall. And even back in Genesis, there was a foreshadowing of this happening. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned, there was a separation. Separate. The serpent deceived Adam and Eve, and they both fell. And immediately consequences took place. But even then, God wanted reconciliation to bring that relationship back. The serpent made them deceived, but God the Father said to Jesus, Jesus, will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Foreshadowing of what was to come. Thousands and thousands of years later, it happened. And Jesus crushed the head of the serpent and took a brutal, brutal death. But it was for all of us. And because of that, we were reconciled. Yes. The debt of sin could not be paid back on our own. It can't be done. It just can't. The debt had to be paid by Christ. Amen. Jesus did it for us. In verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's a great story. It's a story that changes. It's a story that is true, that changed the lives of millions and millions of people. Jesus knew it. He knew what was going to happen. He did it for us, and he chose to do it because he loves us, and he wants us back in relationship with him. Unfortunately, this big entry that happened did not last long. The Jerusalem, the Jews, they thought that Jesus, the Messiah, who was to come, was going to rescue them politically and currently in their state to overthrow the current government that was over them. But Jesus came to save them spiritually. Yes. And they missed it. And so Jesus didn't say the words that they wanted to hear. And in just a few days after the big celebration, when they were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, were later on saying, crucify him. Are you sure? This man has no fault. Crucify him. Same people. Jesus knew it was going to happen. He knew it. What they did not know is that Jesus came to conquer it all for all of us. I want to make one thing clear. Works does not work in salvation. I want to say that one more time. Works does not work in salvation. You cannot work your way into the kingdom of God. You cannot have another system or formula to be able to make to the kingdom of God. Your mama can't get you into the kingdom of God. Your pastor can't get you into the kingdom of God. We can't do it. I heard earlier in Sunday school, the coattails. You can't get into the coattails to get into the kingdom. It has to be through Jesus Christ. Work does not work in salvation. The work has already been done through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no other way. There is no other road. There is no other entry. It's only through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me set the scene and make it clear to you guys. Genesis, separation. God begins the process of reconciliation. He tells the Jews when they make a mistake, you're going to go to the altar, you're going to put a good animal that you treasure, not something that's not good, that has deformity or has, you know, a spot or, you know, it doesn't really appeal to them. Something that hurts, something that's real. You're going to put it on the altar. You're going to cut it open. You're going to make a sacrifice. You're going to see that animal go through a torturous death, and you're going to splatter the blood on the altar. Do you see what's happening here? God the Father is setting up the scene for when Jesus did it for all of us once and for all. And so the Jews always saw this sacrifice, and they were waiting for the king to come, but they didn't think Jesus was the sacrifice. They missed it. God knew that. Jesus knew that. Here's what's amazing to me. From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., it was pure torture. We've never experienced any kind of torture like that. We're talking about some very, very brutal stuff. We're talking about a whip going over the back and stripping off flesh. We're talking about thorns. We've all been cut by a thorn before. How about a lot of thorns and smashed into your head? How about being spit on and mocked? How about the same people who said Hosanna, who betrayed him, were now mocking him? The Pharisees, the religious leaders, saying, why don't you come down from the cross? You're so great. You're so good. Jesus could have destroyed all of them. He had the power to do it, but yet he stayed up there. And not only did he do that, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus had us in mind. He thought of you. He thought of me. All of it, so that we can be reconciled. to 3 p.m. torture. Finally, Jesus said, it is finished. The direct Greek can say it like this. This is my favorite part. Paid in full. It was paid in full. And when that happened, the Bible says darkness came over and the veil was torn. That's another big significance. Because that means that the veil that only the high priest could go in one time of year to experience the presence of God, the holies of holies, was now ripped so that anyone, anytime, can go in there into the presence of God. That's a big significance. So now, not only are we reconciled with God, but now we can go to God anytime, and we are in the presence of God when we cry out to him and say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I want you to think really hard and really deep. I want you to really, just for a moment, evaluate this. There may be something in your life that you made a big mistake. Big. It's a sin. It happened. You came to Christ. You asked God for forgiveness. And you feel like God has forgiven you from other sins, but not this one. You just can't let it go. You feel like you've gone so far, so over the line, that Jesus, he didn't pay that one. I want to let you know right now, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And I want to let you know right now that when Jesus said paid in full, he did not say paid partially. He did not say paid monthly. He said paid in full. Full as in done, full as in complete, full as in we have eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paid in full.
Thank you.
I want you to go to God and say, Jesus, help me move on from this. And secondly, forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Because there's no person who has perfection, only Christ. And that is why his sin offering was eternal for all of us.
Amen.
And anyone can receive it through faith, through him. The same God who had the big entry will have another big entry.
Yes.
And that's whenever he comes back again.
Yes.
And it's going to be a great day.
Yes.
We experience the presence of God in this church, and it's a wonderful thing. Picture that for eternity. It's hard for our minds to grasp that, but it's true. We get to spend the be in the presence of God and spend eternity with Him. We get to see loved ones that we haven't seen for years. We get to be with saints like this all the time. We get to experience the kingdom of God for a couple of hours now in church. Try it all the time. No more worry, no more sickness, no more pain, no more struggle, no more sadness. The big entry will come. And I just want to let you know that He did all of this for us, and none of it could be possible without Jesus.